So I'm sitting in the cake shop. It's the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. This is where I ended my evening, by the way. I ended my evening in the cake shop, as did you, Becca.
I did.
I'm here with Becca Schwartz, and you are DJ Bungalow for WSPN, is that right?
Yes, up in Saratoga Springs, New York.
And then I'm also here with Maria Sherman, who is
a music
a
critic.
Long list of, go on.
Should I give the list, the entire list?
We may cut you off.
All right. BuzzFeed, Rolling Stone, MySpace, Village Voice, Vice, all of those places.
Great. As a writer.
As a writer. I'm a music critic.
And we're at the end of CMJ, which is the College Media Journal, which has been doing lists and magazines and shows and used to do CD compilations and a music festival for a long time, 30-something years, right?
It's great.
And this is the end. It all ended last night, and we're going to talk about the things we saw because we all saw a ton of shows. Anybody want to start?
I saw one of the most bizarre live acts on Friday at 285 Kent, which is a do-it-yourself venue in Williamsburg. The entire lineup was primarily female-fronted, like arty proto-punk bands, which is my favorite thing in the entire universe. This band called Priest, they're actually from D.C., so
hometown, yes.
Hometown, MBR.
There were a number of hometown DC bands I'm very proud of. One was Gems, another
yes.
was Shark Week.
Yeah.
Margo McDonald was here. Anyway, keep going.
It kind of makes me want to go move there now. Who knows? Maybe I'll get sick of New York. Just kidding. So this band Priest, they're very political, and they're kind of irritated by how it was sponsored by Doc Martens. So during the set, they threw...
I have to take my shoes off now.
So they were joking that it was also sponsored by Chipotle. And they bought vegan Chipotle burritos and threw them at people, but not aggressively, like handing people food. And then they threw toilet paper. They just remind me of, like, 90s DC, 80s, like, hardcore stuff. Let's hear Leave Me Alone. It's kind of a feminist anthem that I've taken to heart this year.
Awesome. And I'll just say that we are in the cake shop. We don't have any ability to hear what we are about to play. I'll cut this together. It'll sound seamless, everybody out there, but we can't react to the sound of the music because we're not actually hearing it. Let's be true about that. That was awesome! No, I'm just kidding.
You only be
So that was Priest. They have an EP. They have an album. What are they at?
They have a couple tapes and EPs. I'm talking to a bunch of labels. Saw a bunch of A&R people smoozing with them, kind of to their disadvantage because they're so anti all of that. they really are like a college radio band to me. I still kind of hang around WNYU, which is my radio alma mater. And I hear him play them all the time.
It's hard to leave a college radio station. Yes. And I know that I meet a lot of people who are 30 and 40 that are here, that have been coming a long time, and they're still so connected, right, with their station. It's the summer camp you will always have at your high school.
Yeah, I actually asked a question at one of the panels the other day and announced that I was with Skidmore College. And when I sat back down, Hannah Carlin with Secretly, yeah, she came up to me and she was like, I went to Skidmore, oh my God. And we talked for like hours about it, and she might come up in a few weeks and help out with the station, so.
Fabulous. She, yeah, in fact, I think that's how I met you too.
Yeah.
Hannah Carlin.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Becca, what did you see?
Well, I guess because we're sitting in Cake Shop, I guess I could tell you that I saw three great shows in a row last night.
They're playing Suicide on a Sunday morning at the Cake Shop, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I feel so at home.
Really calming. I saw Eagles first. I think they
Let's spell this.
E-A-G-U-L-L-S, not the Eagles. Yes.
So that said, when I saw them, and maybe this happened, I only saw a little bit of the Cake Shop show, people were yelling, Desperado, or name your Eagles song.
Yeah.
This is a band from Leeds.
Yeah, and I think I was most excited because the lead singer was wearing first he started wearing his jacket and then stripped down into his black turtleneck, which really set the mood. And
skinny, handsome dude.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest here.
Tall, skinny, blonde. And he, just with everything he sang, he was so deep in thought, which was, it made it feel like he was making up everything at the moment, more like an improv type of concert. And, well, I don't know if he was or not, but he really made a compelling live show.
Loud and two guitars and bass, I guess drums, I think, right?
Yeah, the bass player decided to stand with the audience, which I guess made us relate with him a little bit.
That's great. So you got a song you want to play?
All right, this is Nerve Endings by Eagles.
Thank you.
So that's Eagles, a song called Nerve Endings. One thing, my only criticism of Eagles, because I did like them a lot, but my only criticism is it's sort of, to me, it was one song. Most of the songs didn't distinguish themselves quite from the other. That said, worth seeing, worth listening to. Their recorded songs have a lot more definition than they might have live, but it was brash and it was fun.
Yeah, definitely. And they shared the stage with Yuck, who came back to CMJ with a little different sound, a new album. And I didn't pick a song for them, but I did see Bob rocking out to them. So I thought that was noteworthy that he was definitely... Oh, yeah,
like they were kind of really good. There was one brilliant moment, and I don't know if you saw this, but there was a fellow who was sitting under... Right, you can laugh, it's okay. Yeah. There was a fellow sitting under these speakers, literally sitting on the stand that held the speaker, fell asleep.
I have pictures.
At All Songs on my Twitter. That's how I ended my CMJ coverage of my Instagram account. It was one moment where the singer for Yuck made a comment like, "You're very close to the speaker," you know? But he was fast asleep. And at the end, and you can help me with the story. At the end, the guitarist, the singer, Max Bloom, goes over to this dude who had just sort of half woken up and takes his guitar, straps it around the guy. The guy is now on stage playing the very ending of the song. We're not playing it, but the guitar is droning away, right? Can you tell me what happened next? Because I turned around looking at the crowd because I was laughing so hard to see if anyone else was seeing all of this.
Well, he could not handle it, and he literally fell down. And next thing I see is this guy with a guitar around him with his feet up in the air.
That's when I turned around. I saw the feet up, and I didn't know if he fell for comic effect.
He flew down.
It was the perfect CMJ ending that we have much more to talk about regarding CMJ. That was Yuck were fabulous, absolutely fabulous. We won't play a song from Yuck because one of the things I want to do on the show is play a bunch of new stuff. And we featured Yuck on All Songs Considered recently. An artist I saw three times who I madly loved was Courtney Barnett.
Yeah, I, as per Bob's recommendation, went to see Courtney Barnett. And I'm pretty sure she played 8 shows throughout CMJ, and I would have gone to all 8. She was amazing, and she had like kind of the most amazing yet depressing yet endearing lyrics I've ever heard. But she really just like captured the audience, and she was kind of like speaking her train of thought, but it came together really perfectly. And she played, at least when I saw her, without her band, so it was just her and her guitar, and she was just fantastic.
So I saw her twice with band, once alone, and she's an Australian singer, and the song we're going to play has a couple of amazing lines. It's called Avant Gardener, first of all, which is funny, and then the song talks about how she pulling out weeds and stuff and has this allergic reaction, winds up in an ambulance, and talks about how the medical technician person says basically, "Wow, you're so cool, you play guitar," and she says something like, "Yeah, you're pretty cool too, you save lives," in essence is the song. So we'll play the song from Courtney Barnett.
Plant in them. I wanna grow tomatoes.
So that's Courtney Barnett. I saw her last night walking down the street. I saw her not only I must have seen that woman like five or six different times around CMJ. Like you say, she played like eight shows. So she's going to come back to the States in February, I understand. She's from Australia, if I didn't say that. Great music. It's from a thing called the Double EP, A Sea of Split Peas. Becca Schwartz, what do you have?
Well, just to stick with the outdoor gardening theme, I wanted to bring up Yako Gardner, who I saw yesterday at the Knitting Factory. It took me by surprise. It was like a 60s, 70s dreamy pop, and I decided that if my life was a Tim Burton movie, he would make the soundtrack to it, because it was like I was in some like dreamy wonderland. It felt kind of mysterious, and he did have a super unique sound, and his backup singers were also, they did weird things with their voices, and it came together really nicely. This is Where Will You Go by Yako Gardner.
So that's Yako Gardner, one of the many artists at CMJ. We just put a video of his music on the All Songs Considered site. We'll throw a link there so you can see it. He's a good one.
Great.
What do you have, Maria Sherman?
So one of my favorite parts of CMJ is not only discovering new acts, but kind of revisiting music you forgot about, making music less temporary, I guess. And that, since we're sitting in the cake shop, I want to talk a little bit about how I saw Weekend here on Thursday afternoon at the Terror Bird Showcase, a media company that works a lot with college radio, usually has a great showcase every year. So recently with Weekend on record, I think they're a lot poppier than they are live. It's quickly becomes a noise show. There are guitars and microphones being thrown at amps. They're now touring with this band called Nothing, who are abrasively loud. It's a new theme. New theme in music. Everyone's ears are going to bleed.
Before we get to Weekend, one of my pet peeves is when music is too loud and I have to throw my earplugs in. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the show is hardly as enjoyable as it was the moment before. My other pet peeve is when the band makes their music so loud you can't understand the words.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask every band to please stop doing that right now. Thanks.
Open letter to the music industry.
Yes.
I can agree with that. It can be annoying. But when it's done artfully... I wasn't around when Black Tambourine were a band, so now I get to kind of experience that sort of shoegazy nothingness.
Yeah. So what are we going to play?
We're going to listen to July, the second single from their latest album.
The Weeknd.
Weeknd, from San Francisco.
It's not The Weeknd.
It's not The Weeknd. Yeah, right, it's not Weeknd. It's Weeknd.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to do a group that is sort of appropriate that I'm going to talk about, which is public service broadcast, which is not to be confused with public broadcasting service. This is a duo from England, however, that is a multimedia duo. Every song has a film. There's no singing, but all the voice, including the thank you very muches, are all done in a robot recording of samples. Very well done and very funny. On all of those voices and all of that footage is I think, gleaned from sort of PSAs. They're British, so a lot of British sort of coming sort of films and public service broadcasting stuff. Very danceable. It was very fun. One of the things that struck me was the instrumentation being the first thing the dude picked up who played electronics was a banjo. J. Will Goose Esquire is the fellow who had a bow tie on. The drummer, whose name is just Wrigglesworth. And I'm just going to say, it could be the best thing I saw all week at CMJ. Best surprise. Immediately invited him to play my desk. And I'm thinking, maybe we'll set up like screens and do it at night and have films. And anyway, let's play some music by Public Service Broadcasting. I'm going to play a song called Spitfire, whose video was a lot of World War II footage over Europe and dog fights and that kind of stuff.
The birds fly a lot better than we do. See how they wheel and bank and glide? Perfect. And all in one. Wings, body, tail, all in one. Someday, I'm going to build a plane that can be just like a bird. Stretching up for something that's just out of reach. But I'll get it. After all, what I want isn't as easy as all that. I've got to do 400 miles an hour, turn on a sixpence, climb 10,000 feet in a few minutes, dive at 500 without the wings coming off, carry 8 machine guns.
Hello, Hunter Leader, Hunter Leader. Death is approaching Beachy from Southeast Angels 1-5. Over. Bandits are now about 3 to 4 miles south of Beachy. You should see them in a minute, they're down south of you. Hello, Hunter Leader, Hunter Leader, Thermal Control calling, can you see them? Can you see them? We'll be right back.
Public Service Broadcasting. The song was Spitfire, and their album is called Inform, Educate, and Entertain, which is exactly what they do. And with a great sense of humor, I might add.
That's great.
And you can dance to it, so, I mean...
That's crazy. It kind of sounds like it might be hard to do without seeming cartoonish, which is something that I think King Dude does really well. He has such a, like, low-set voice. People constantly kind of make fun of him. Sounds like he smokes 1,000 cigarettes a day. Totally over the top. His voice should probably sound like mine all of the time. So I saw him last night, or I guess yesterday afternoon, at Baby's All Right, which is a new space in New York. Very excited for it. It's beautiful. It felt like Austin.
It felt like Austin because the air conditioning didn't work.
Oh, that's true.
That's a little why it was a little warm in there, but they literally opened the day before. They had a couple of kinks, including the entire right side of the speaker system didn't work. Yeah. I went to the sound guy and said, did you know that the right side of the speaker? He said, no, I didn't. And he couldn't. I don't know if they ever sussed out the problem. They didn't while I was there. But that said, it's a beautiful venue with a lot of promise on Broadway in Brooklyn.
They also had a tattoo parlor in the front.
Oh, my God, that was frightening. Alcohol and tattoos.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely, what's better?
A bunch of my friends got drunk tattoos. Oh, God. That was an event.
Oh, God, why would you ever? These are not, we're not talking about the, like, put a little water on your arm and, right? We're talking real tattoos
real
here.
Real permanent tattoos.
Oh,
and they're all like fish. People. It's kind of funny because I think Baby's All Right sounds incredibly, like, rockabilly to me. It sounds like it should be, like, a rockabilly club. And, like, having Sailor Jerry's giving tattoos so fits that theme. I think King Dude kind of looks like a rockabilly guy. Everyone was sticking to form, like, slicked back, sort of like a gothy folk guy. His voice often reminds me of Johnny Cash, if Johnny Cash was around and did more post-punky stuff.
He did, and when the guitar broke down in part of that set, because I was there too, he did a solo tune that did remind me of when Johnny Cash sang with Bono. Did you ever hear the U2 song that Johnny Cash and U2 did together? It's an awesome song whose name I won't remember right now, but that's what that reminded me of. Anyway, what do you want to play?
We're going to hear Holy Land from King Dude.
Excellent.
Troubled heart.
So from King Dude, let's go to Becca Schwartz. What do you have?
Yeah, so I was at the Knit yesterday with the AAM, another similar promotion company. Their showcase, they had Nick Waterhouse headlining the day. And, you know, he's R&B and soul, and he's not necessarily working with, like, a brand new sound, but he does it really well. His stage setup was bass saxophone, tenor sax, piano, two backup singers and percussion, tambourine, etc., and then Nick in the center. So it was a really full stage, and the whole crowd was dancing, which to me is
doesn't happen a lot at CMJ.
Yeah, a sign of a good
New York doesn't dance.
Yeah,
well, that's always been sort of true, except in disco in the 70s. In fact, we'll talk about dance in a moment when I talk about Arcade Fire. Plus, people are exhausted. I mean, a lot of people are spending 5 days doing this, going to, I don't know, I probably saw 50, 60 shows this week. I don't know what you guys did, but it's hard to dance at 50 shows. You know? You just got to stand there and listen. Anyway, what do you want to play?
Here's a song by Nick Waterhouse. Bob, why don't you check him out and pick a song that you think is
appropriate. Okay, I'll do that. That's Nick Waterhouse. We're sitting in the cake shop in New York City. And I actually, the very first time, I have a plate of cake, which I've never done. I've seen a lot of bands here, had drinks here, I will tell, but I've never had cake. And their carrot cake's pretty good.
They also have good tea.
I want to talk about Arcade Fire. Did either of you go to the show, the Arcade Fire show?
No, but I immediately regret it. I regret not going.
First of all, they threw this huge party. Arcade Fire have a new album. This is about to come out, called Reflector. They threw a party in a warehouse, a space they sort of just decked out themselves. There were about 2,000 people at this warehouse in Bushwick. They required you to either be dressed in formal attire or to wear a costume. And I, for the first time since I was 8 years old, put on a costume. My costume was a cat mask. That was the best that I could muster. So I was the cat in the hat, I was the only one who knew that.
Lovely.
I was the cat in the hat, because I always wear a hat.
I hope a picture will be on the blog for the world to see.
That's great.
And I'm not sure if there is one, but we'll figure that out. There are so many things I want to talk about, but I'll try and be brief. One is that they faked out the people there as to what the stage was. So everybody gathered around this one stage. It said the reflectors projected on the back. And out comes James Murphy after waiting for an hour, and everybody's hot, and I actually had to take my cat mask off. It was so hot, and a lot of people were really taking their costuming off. James Murphy comes out, and he says something like, "We're having a little problems. We only got three members. And anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the reflectors." And these three large-headed, cartoony characters come out and play this kind of Devo-esque, distorted, falling-apart music. And as they're doing this for about a minute, you hear this noise from the other side of the room, and it's like drums, and you don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, curtain comes down, and the entire Arcade Fire are on another stage at another part of the room. And it was, on one level, really cool and fun. On the other level, it was very scary. As someone in the middle, it was crushing. Everybody rushed to this other stage, and you didn't know when the rushing and crushing was going to stop. It put me in a kind of a bad mood as well as a lot of other people. I saw a few women in tears. I saw people leaving. That said, and not to put a damp on the party, because, you know, for the most part, it was a pretty amazing thing to do. It just wasn't quite well thought out. But they had this beautiful set, this shiny, wonderful set, and they played about 11 songs, maybe for a little over an hour, a lot of songs from the new record. The sound wasn't so good. It was a warehouse space. It was a little hard to glean. I get the sense that this new record's going to be very, very danceable. I know we've all heard some songs from it. Harkening back with disco balls and reflecting lights and all that stuff, harkening back to imagining, I think, they wanted to throw a party like the parties were in the late 70s in the disco era. For me, that's not my favorite period of music. I don't know why people want to go and revisit that, but so be it. I'm interested to hear the record. I'm always interested to hear what Arcade Fire has to do. I'm really glad they threw this huge party. When the music stopped, when Butler basically said something like, "And now we're gonna DJ, and it was over in like a little over an hour, and I think people were upset. Some people booed. A lot of people left. I happened to like have no idea where I was in Bushwick, and was trying to wander to find a subway to get downtown. And I saw Win Butler on the street talking to some guy who would roll down the window at a stop sign, and all I heard him say was something to the effect, I can't quote it, but basically said something like, "Why is everybody leaving? We threw this big party." In my own mind, what I think happened really was people really wanted to see Arcade Fire so much that there was that sense of disappointment.
Yeah.
There may well have been a party that went on long after I left, and maybe 30% of the people say, I have no idea. But it was a great idea and a great thing, and I look forward to hearing this band. I'm going to play a song that, I mean, it's out there, but we haven't actually played any of Reflector on All Songs Considered. So here's a chance I'm going to play. I'll play Reflector. What the heck? have a cake in my mouth. I'm at the cake shop, and that was Arcade Fire.
Yeah, they're going to get so much more business.
They are, yeah. Oh, your Sunday business is never going to be the same again. I'm sitting here with Becca Schwartz. I'm sitting here with Maria Sherman, and we are talking about CMJ and the things that we loved and things that we saw and observations. Where are you going to take us, Maria?
I kind of want to talk about a genre that doesn't totally exist, but I heard this term the other day, and I'm obsessed with it. Writer Ian Cohen refers to certain bands as post-coital pop punk. Yeah.
Wow.
It gets pretty sexy. I would go on.
There were quite a number of band names that normally I would think would not make it on their show, but I think today that might happen.
Yeah. The two bands I'm referring to specifically are Pity Sex from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
We can say that.
And Perfect Pussy, mm-hmm. who are from Syracuse.
This is NPR. The moment had to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Children are going to, like, ask their parents about these things.
It's cats. It's all about cats.
Oh, man. So they're both very loud punk bands, and they both hail from towns that aren't necessarily music destinations. I remember talking to Pity Sex, and they said the only thing that, like, ever has come from their area is Andrew W.K., and they couldn't sound further from Andrew W.K. because they're a lot noisier. They borderline on emo, I would wager. They also are this new generation of, like, really smart lyricists. They kind of tell a story, usually about sad sexual encounters, and with metaphor and kind of Waxahachie swearing, kind of like a speaky, very narrative-based band. There's concepts to all of their songs. These bands are kind of taking that in a new direction. I like smart punks, I guess is my conclusion. It's really fun, and they put on a great show. I was talking to Rob Sheffield at Rolling Stone, and he was like, I'm never going to see another live band again after Perfect Pussy. So if you don't believe me, believe that man. He's always right.
Awesome. What do you want to play?
The song is just track one from their first demo. Weird band names. I think this is going to be a common theme for the rest of forever. Thank you, Diarrhea Planet, for paving the way for this. Joanna Gruesome, who I didn't check out because I was so turned off by their name.
Oh my god, we love the name.
Really?
Yeah,
it's really funny.
I think it's
No. I mean, it's not a name that's going to last forever, you know what I mean? It's not that the joke on the name of Joanna Newsom and that play on it and how different they are. Is not something that in 10 years is going to probably be funny, but at the moment it seemed pretty damn funny, and whatever.
I guess that's the point, because I love them so much, I want them to exist forever, and if your name is like a current like pop culture reference, I'm not sure how long that'll live. I don't know what the half-life on that is, but they played a bunch of shows with Perfect Pussy. I kind of want to put them in my like post-coital pop punk genre but perhaps not so much. They're much more aggressive. I saw them live for the first time 2 days ago, nearing the end of CMJ, and they had so much energy. The guitar players were like crowd surfing with their guitars and playing, and someone told me it was something like their 9th show in 4 days.
I
was just amazed by how much energy these people have. I'd be sick. At that point, I would sit down.
And it's not just that they're playing 9 shows. People have to understand that when you navigate anything like this or South by Southwest, you are parking your van somewhere, probably a few blocks from the venue. You're wheeling your gear in. All of this, it's not just like you get up and play for 25, 30, or 40 minutes and you leave. That is not the exhausting part of it. The exhausting part of it, that whole load-in, load-out, instant, no sound check, stressful. Yeah, that.
Yeah,
all, that.
All of that. I saw Yuck yesterday blocking traffic for, I'd say, like half a mile down the road, and every single car in that line was honking as loud as they possibly could.
There you go. New York City is not an easy place to do this stuff in. This music festival is spread all over Brooklyn and Manhattan. Anyway, I empathize with bands.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think Joanna Gersimer, like, they did CMJ correctly. Everyone was, like, talking about them. Everyone was excited to see them. They also have the benefit of being from, is it Wales or England?
Yes, they're from, I think, Cardiff.
So everyone's excited to see the new cool band for the first time play the U.S., and they were amazing. You saw them.
I saw them twice, and yeah, I liked them a lot. Again, they were like a couple of the guitar bands I saw where the songs didn't distinguish themselves so much from one to another. Mm-hmm. That was okay. I liked the singer a lot. I really want to see where they are in a year.
Yeah.
I hope they make it that long, because I thought she really had a lot of connection with the audience. I thought she had two different styles of singing. They weren't always compatible. One was a scream, one was a sing. And I'm just interested to know where she goes. It seems they're so young, and I love seeing groups when they're young, so you know what happens 4 years from now. And it's that's sort of the fun. You see the little storyline and the songs develop and all that stuff. So we won't play Joanna Gruesome because we just had Joanna Gruesome on the show, mm-hmm. So we'll put a link somewhere so you can hear that. There are a couple of things that I saw that I'll mention. I saw Jonathan Rado of Foxygen had a nice psychedelic fun band together, and I really, really enjoyed it. That was one thing.
And another offspring of Foxygen is Diane Coffey, which you should definitely check out.
One of the best acts I saw was this act called Yamakata Sonic Titan. I'm probably completely butchering that, and I apologize. Don't know any Japanese. They're a Japanese sort of like art performance group, all like done up with makeup, and it's very much a spectacle. They have like programmed like light show, and it's great.
I saw the Bots, who I really love. They're the duo guitar and drums, like a lot of duo guitar and drums. There's a bluesy aspect to it and a real driving force, but they had a hyper lively energy. I'm sure they couldn't be more than 22, 23, and they may even be younger, from L.A., and a little bit of Jimi Hendrix thrown in there too, which was kind of cool. Really good guitar playing and great fun.
Yeah, and same with the two people on stage, Torres, which I think you have featured on NPR recently, but I really like their raw sound.
Yeah, she's a good singer too. My favorite that I've seen a bunch, but came and wound up seeing Lucius as the first show that I saw here at CMJ. I could not resist. I wanted to hear their new record live. I think in terms of just like a show with pop songs and so forth and great performance and great singing, Lucius, the very first thing I saw at CMJ was actually turned out to be the most polished, best thing I saw, and I love him dearly.
I saw The History of Apple Pie for the first time.
Yeah, another great name. Yes.
It's a thing. I only write about bands with weird names. I expected them to be a lot more like straightforward indie pop. Maybe in a way that like I wouldn't enjoy. It would just sound like it was something that could have been released in 1980, whatever, and I would find boring and kind of diminutive. But they were incredible. They had such an energy to them.
I saw them the night I saw Joanna Gruesome. I think I mentioned Gems, the DC band. I thought that they, just not because I'm from Washington, but just I think they're a duo and very, very talented mix of great vocals and dreamy music. And I watched the crowd because I just like lovingly want to see how they're doing to people in the audience, and I think they really took CMJ really well. So that's Gems. But I'm going to take us out on a group I saw a couple of times and I still can't wrap my brain around, but I really liked, and that was Celestial Shore. Celestial Shore, I have a record called 10X, who also, that record I've been having trouble getting my brain around. It's kind of in the way Dirty Projectors do a lot of shifting and changing inside their songs, and you really just got to get familiar with them to, like, they're interesting puzzles, but not always the most easy listening thing. Mm-hmm. That's the way I felt about Celestial Shore, a trio of drums, bass, guitar, two different singers. I'm intrigued by them, and I'm really interested to see where they go, so I think maybe I'll take this out. On Celestial Shore, I'll do a song called Rabbit Hole. See what you think. Thank you, Becca Schwartz, and thank you, Maria Sherman. This was fun.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Let's eat cake.
Let's eat some cake.
And maybe I'll see you all in South by Southwest, right?
Absolutely.
Because this is just kind of a warm-up for that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, all.
Thank you.
Thank you.